Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Hey, hi, welcome back to Talking Real Money, the radio show that becomes a podcast. Kind of like that. I'm Don McDonald. Tom Cock is hanging out over there in the world-renowned Model Aircraft Museum.
Still awaiting its first visitor.
Well, but, you've had virtual visitors. I know you had some virtual visitors.
That's true. Had a couple of them today that were mildly impressed.
Got to avoid COVID and RSV, you know, and influenza.
That's a good point. So hide in my little room here.
You hide in your room. Tom does a great job hiding in his room, by the way. Excellent work. We are here to try and help you manage money better. All you have to do is give us a call and ask us what we can do to help. Our phone number is 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. So stop in. Give us a call.
You know, you noticed on the show, we don't spend that much time talking about returns.
No.
We don't come on and say, buy this, it'll go up.
No, we don't talk about them at all. I mean, well, okay.
Yeah, really.
You do. I try to discourage it.
Yeah. Well, because people, you know, they generally want to know. I think the more important thing for most people is to know how to invest at a low cost and be tax efficient. You got to first decide if you're going to take market-like returns. If you're not, then yeah, you need to pay attention to returns and find someone who's going to beat the market, which we can't find. But it's interesting that after last year, there's a lot of gnashing of teeth and unhappiness around the fact that stocks and bonds went down. They're calling it the worst ever year for the portfolio of 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds.
Oh, we've done a bunch of podcasts and stuff on those who have said 60-40 is dead.
Yep. It's over. You don't do that.
And well, then we did the resurrection one just a couple of weeks ago.
That's a good point. We did. Well, okay. Maybe a little early for Easter. But here's the thing.
No, resurrection of 60-40. I wasn't going religious.
Oh, 60-40. Sorry. So our friend Jason Zweig, and we do think he's one person you should read, pay attention to. And I think I get this for free. I'm not sure. I'm a subscriber to the Wall Street Journal, but I get a regular email from him, from the Intelligent Investor.
Now, that is free. Says, yes, that's free.
Okay. I think you should. That's easy sign up.
It's, yeah, it's
the
free.
Intelligent Investor, and it's a great, great piece. He says, your investing strategy just failed. It's time to double down. He says the 60-40 is going to do better in the years ahead. Now, I'm not going to make that statement because I don't know. But what I will say is the 40% in bonds had a crummy year. The intermediate term bond fund that we use lost about 12% of its value. That's very,
huge.
Very harsh. Huge. Because normally stocks don't do well and bonds sort of hover, right? They're not moving around a lot up or down. But last year, both were down substantially. But here's the good news. And Jason agrees with me here. The good news is now yields of around 4% are coming from those bond funds that you own. I just looked at the SEC yield for the Vanguard Municipal Bond Funds. I talked to a gentleman this morning, 4.2%. I mean,
what?
So now, yeah, you can own bond funds that actually pay you something for the first time.
Wait, for a tax-free fund?
Tax-free fund. First time in like 10 years. I think it's VWEHX or something like that. But this is something to pay attention to, and this is why Jason says the worst is probably over, and history puts today's opportunities in perspective. And again, just going back to what we always talk about, the fact that we don't know what's ahead, but I can tell you that if 40% of your money's in at least something that's yielding the 4%, that's in a better place than it was the last 10 years where the yields were darn near nothing.
VWEHX, that's the corporate.
Yeah, okay, I got it. The Vanguard. I'll find it for you here.
Yeah, because the on BND, the Vanguard Total Bond ETF, the yield on that is 4.14, and that's a taxable yield. So it'd shock the heck out of me if a tax-free bond fund had a 4% also. It would mean It either means that they have to be taking a lot more risk.
Look like it. I'm trying to find Vanguard. The ticker here, and it's not coming right up. Vanguard Municipal Bond Index Fund. Maybe that's why I didn't.
Muni. I don't have. I think they call them tax-free.
I think you may be right.
Tax-exempt bond.
There you go. Hang on.
VTEB is the tax-exempt bond ETF, and that's yielding 3.34. And that makes more sense.
Yeah, it does. This was their mutual fund, not their ETF.
Must be long-term or higher. I just don't want anybody to think they can get 4% on a low-risk tax-free bond fund, because that just can't be. That's just too high. I don't want to mislead.
We don't want to mislead. But I will say this. With even the 10-year now is paying something like 3-something, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So you're making, the point of the matter was, you're making something, and I don't know why for the life of me. The long term is VWLTX.
VWLTX. Just checking. Just want to make sure. And that should, yield is about 2.6. So yeah, I think we're 3 too, is probably more like it. But anyway, moving on. Yields are higher.
Yields are higher. And if you're somebody who believes in having balance in their portfolio, better times probably are ahead. Again, I'm not going to back Jason up necessarily and say it's going to be better, because we don't know what's going to be better or not. But that is helpful.
I got to say, though, I will kind of go with him, and I'll say it's like, you know, that it'll be better someday. You can almost say that with close to 100% certainty, that someday a 60-40 portfolio is going to provide a more positive return. I mean, that seems like a pretty safe statement, doesn't it?
After the last 10 years, I think you can. I'm just not going to go there. But
all right,
it does appear to be better. I'm really frustrated that I can't find this fund, because I gave it to somebody this morning. But I may be able to go through my notes and find it.
Okay. Well, that's not, again, not the point. Point is that the way you've been investing is the way you should still be investing, because it has worked. And going forward, it almost has to continue to work. Because one of the things...
V-W-A-H-X. V-W-A-H-X.
All right.
All right. It's going to drive me nuts.
All right. I'm going to look it up.
You know how I am about these things.
While I do that, we're going to figure that out. V-W-A-H-X? I don't know.
Yes,
we'll
sir.
Be back. We're talking real money.
John and Don are talking real money. Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Yep, that's what we do, and we got to clarify for you right here.
Yeah,
the fund that Tom was looking up, he thought was a tax-free regular bond fund, but it was a tax-free.
It is tax-free.
It is tax-free.
High yield,
but it's high yield, which means it's
we don't recommend high yield funds. I don't know how I ended up there, but so
but
the VWAHX is paying 4. That's in bonds that we generally would not use.
No,
it's riskier.
No, because it's riskier. So. But it means that you can, with BND, you can get a 4% SEC yield.
Correct.
Now.
Yep.
And with a tax-free, you can get about 3 in the intermediate
And the
term.
Thing is, we looked at this a few years ago, if you remember. Very few people end up paying much tax on the interest they get from bonds, because your income has to be pretty high. So you could go ahead and use the BND, get the 4, probably won't impact your tax as much, rather than using, for most people,
tax-exempt. Again, our phone number is 855. No, it's not a big deal. Wait, you know how many symbols are spinning around out there? That's one of the reasons I like ETFs better, too. They have shorter symbols.
Easier to remember.
I can remember VT, BND. There you go. Yeah. But those five-letter ones, who knows? I mean, remember we used to do VTWSX, then it was VTWAX. Now it's just VT.
AX. Yep. I know.
855-935-TALK. Call us, like Joel did. Hey, Joel, welcome to the show.
I have been listening to you guys for years, have used your services. Just have a couple quick questions. One,
absolutely.
I don't hear you saying Vessery anymore. Did Appella buy you out, partner you? What happened?
Yes, we partnered with Appella. We joined them as 2 years ago. Yeah, two years ago. Yeah. And then we gradually phased out the vestry names because we wanted that commonality across the country so that you could walk into an Appella office in Connecticut and, you know, still be with the same company.
I didn't take the sign either. I came that close, but
what happened to the sign?
The vestry sign. I think it's in the you know what.
My sign away?
No. I threw it because it's one of those. You got to tear off the Band-Aid. I was going to put it in my garage. Yeah, carry that around.
I was going to hang it outside the front of the house when.
Hi, vestry.
Vestry. You
know. Yeah. Good point, Joel. Good point.
Yeah, the name's dead, but the legend lives on.
There you go.
Anything else?
Yes, sir. You guys have talked ETFs versus conventional mutual funds. Which should I be in now? I'm going to be retiring within the next year.
Are you already in conventional mutual funds?
Oh. I am at Vanguard a whole bunch, yes.
Oh, well, with Vanguard, okay, there's an advantage to actually going to ETFs with Vanguard.
Well, I'm going to let you tell that, but here's what I'm going to say. If this is in a qualified account, is this like IRAs or Roth IRAs, or is this regular brokerage?
Both.
Okay. So here, the reason that I think, and we talked about this on a recent program, that in 10 to 15 years, the mutual fund industry is going to be far smaller because ETFs have so many advantages, especially in non-qualified accounts, brokerage accounts. I mean, so, okay, in addition to the fairly low cost they have, and yes, I know you could probably buy some mutual funds with similar or low costs, you can buy diversification, all the things that we talk about, but you trade them for free, and the taxes, the way that they're structured, they don't actually sell the securities, they simply exchange them inside the fund so that you don't have capital gains, very, very, very little. So they have all the advantages as far as I can see, and I do think mutual funds are going the way of the dinosaur, the unit investment trust, whatever. I mean, fill in the blank. It's going to be tough. So if I was just trying to figure out my portfolio today, I would use ETFs instead of mutual funds. And by the way, the other great thing about Vanguard, Don, you can talk about why you like them. Vanguard eventually will move all of those conventional mutual funds to the ETF wrapper instead.
Well, that's the thing. Vanguard actually patented the process for converting a mutual fund into an ETF in kind with no tax hit. No taxable event. So let's say, just for example, you own VTWAX, the Vanguard Total World Stock Index Fund. Right now, if you own that fund in a taxable account, every year you would get a capital gains distribution on which you will need to pay taxes. If that was in VT, you would never get a capital gains distribution. The only time you would pay taxes is when you sold. Part two. VTWAX has an expense ratio of 0.10% per year.
One tenth of 0.1. Yeah, got it.
VT has an expense ratio of 0.07%.
Cheap. Yeah. I mean, they're both inexpensive, but they're a little more expensive. And by the way, the largest converter last year that moved from mutual funds to ETFs. Do you know this?
I just saw this the other day.
Dimensional funds, yeah.
Dimensional funds.
They were number one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, because the writing's on the wall. The handwriting's right there. It says ETFs make more sense. Now, the reason we took so long coming around is because we are incredibly skeptical of new stuff. Because there have been so many times that new stuff has burned people like, I don't know, let's try 2001 and 2008 with collateralized debt obligations or auction rate notes or whatever it might be. So we didn't know, and we weren't comfortable saying ETFs are going to be able to survive a rapid fire meltdown of the market.
And they didn't in 2011.
Well, they did. They survived.
They came back. I mean, the market makers did not step in. So we had some questions. And by the way, because it's not just our money, it's the public's money and our clients' money. We're more conservative about adding things,
well,
and changing things.
Well, a lot
careful.
Of firms it's, aren't. Don't say just because we manage somebody else's money, we're conservative.
No, I'm saying about this is about us. This
yeah,
is, this, I'm saying
I just don't,
this is about us.
I
not
don't
about
trust.
The rest of the world. Yeah.
You gotta. I'm really a big believer in the trust but verify thing. Yeah okay, I trust you, but you better prove it to me first. Well, I don't trust you until you prove it to me first.
And by the way, if I could add one thing to this, because it came up in a conversation yesterday. People seem to get caught on this, though. Why are you guys using ETFs instead of mutual funds? And it makes me nervous because I know mutual funds. I don't know in ETFs. They're basically the same thing other than those few differences I just mentioned. So I think you're probably better off using them, especially if you're sort of in you're moving your money around right now. My guess is, again, within a decade, most of the mutual funds will have converted to exchange-traded funds anyway.
Well, as a matter of fact, one of the newer investment funds out there, which is Avantis, which was started by the former CEO of Dimensional Funds in conjunction with American Century Funds, they didn't bring out any funds at all. The whole company is ETFs because it's a less expensive product for the firm to create, too. So it's better for everybody. It's just better. 855-935-TALK. Give us a call.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
We want to help you. We really do. And we've been doing it for a very long time. So call us at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. I'm Don. That's Tom. This is Talking Real Money. And you can also, here's a little trick. If you don't get in during the show, you can call us 24/7 at 855-935-TALK. Leave your questions. We'll answer them on a future podcast. Or you can do this, which is kind of cool. Go to TalkingRealMoney.com. Click on the contact form. And right there is a button that allows you to record your question using your computer. Like right now, my mic is running through my computer. I could just speak into my mic and record a question.
How long, by the way, how long does it record? Like the rest of the day?
As long as you want.
So if you don't turn it off, you and I are going to go back and listen to people's private conversations
probably.
After the.
I don't know how that works because no one's ever done it.
Okay.
So
that's what I would do.
I guess our listeners are smarter than we are.
Taking the trash out.
Yeah. Our listeners are smarter than we are.
Not than you, but than me for sure.
Like maybe this one here.
Hey, Tom and Don. Had a question about my 401k and how to add more of a value tilt to my investments. Currently, I'm invested fully in the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund. Expense ratio is 0.01. The other options for adding a value tilt within the 401k are pretty limited. There's no small cap value, which I would prefer. There is a fund called the Dodge and Cox Stock X. Call letters are DOXGX. And it seems that it's a large cap value fund, but the expense ratio is 0.46. Just wondering what you know about the fund, whether you think it would be valuable to add some of that to my portfolio to increase the overall value tilt. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call to Talking Real. Wasn't really a call. It was a recording at TalkingRealMoney.com. Dodge & Cox StockX. It's an actively managed fund. Not ridiculously expensive, but more expensive than an index. It does have a slight value tilt, but it's very, very, very large cap. And here's the rub. It is a tiny portfolio. It is
Here's probably what I would do.
Stocks.
Wow, that is thin. I mean, here's probably what I would do. I would take half of the large cap allocation and put it in this, put the other half in, I think he didn't mention the fund, but it's probably a S&P 500 type of fund. And then the other part of the U.S. stocks, put that in the small, even though it doesn't have a value tilt. So you at least get small exposure, value exposure, and large exposure.
Now, because we don't have them here to ask other questions of, there is another option, and that is to use the less expensive larger company funds in your retirement plan at work from whomever this is. And then in your other monies, your taxable accounts, your personal IRAs or Roth IRAs, that's where you get the small end value tilt for yourself, because this is the most important thing about a portfolio. It is a single entity. It is the sum of its parts. It is not its parts. Your 401k is not portfolio A and your IRA portfolio B and your taxable portfolio C. No, all of those together are your portfolio. So you can use different things in different types of accounts to get the same overall effect of proper balance.
Dan, I think that's something you're right, Don. People have a tendency to overlook is the fact that you got to look at the entire portfolio and make sure you're properly balanced. That's a great idea if you can do it. If you can't, because you don't have those other assets, again, I would break it up. So inside that 401k, you have some value exposure. Value stocks over time have made more than growth stocks, so you want to have them there if you can.
Boy, I got to tell you, I'm a little skeptical. I'm going to disagree with you slightly. I would have a much, much smaller amount in that Dodge and Cox, only because it is such a skinny portfolio. And that advantage, the advantage of small cap, part of that's going to just get eaten up by the higher fees. Because remember, it's not a 2 and 3 point advantage. It's some years fractions of a point. 855-935-TOM.
Good point.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Real money, real important, real life, real, really here for you right now at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Give us a call, just like Anthony did. Hi, Anthony, welcome.
Hello, yeah, welcome, sir.
What's up?
I bought a couple of EV stocks at Vanguard, and I would like to know, I've lost about $5,000. Can I use those losses for my taxes? So I don't know how it works. So,
yeah. Except
but
now
you would have had, but for 2023, you would have done it already.
Now it'll be a 2023 loss. But yeah, of course you can do that.
Okay. So, but I'm gonna file taxes for 2022. I cannot use it, right?
You can't use it for 2022. You would
unless
have had, what?
Turn back knows how to turn back the clock.
No, he doesn't know how to do that. Oh, there's okay. No time travel yet. I keep telling you that.
Okay.
You keep asking.
I'm hoping.
Hey, if we go forward, like we can figure out what the stock market did.
exactly.
No, you can't take a 2022 loss. You would have to sell it, take the loss, and then book that loss for the 2023 tax year in 2024 when you do your taxes. So, yeah. But you can still do it. You just can't do it for your taxes.
Okay, so what about if I don't sell it and I leave it in, and what happened then?
Nothing. It just, if it goes up, it goes up. What do you have it in?
EV stocks, you said.
Okay. Oh, boy, it sucks, man. It was about $8,000 I have. Now it's like $3,000 in there.
Yeah, you would have had to, you would have had
like
to do
Tesla,
it.
I'm assuming?
You would have had to take the loss in 2022 before the end of 2022 to take it in 20 when you file in 2023. Sorry, Anthony. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I had a bunch.
Yeah, tax loss harvesting was too. We did some. Yeah, I did some.
I had a bunch. I went and looked. I did that much. Yeah. I lost that much money in 2022. Wow.
Ooh, good news. Yeah.
What? Yeah. So. No, actually, it's really good news because I'm going to have a capital gain. Elsewhere, so I can offset some of that.
That's good. Thing. Yeah.
855-935-TALK. I just feel bad.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for people that bought Tesla and lost 65% of their money last year because they bought it after it had gone straight up.
Yeah, but if they'd listened to us,
they would have never
bought Tesla. So the lesson here is it's not whether you can take the tax loss or not because – you know, I took tax losses on mutual funds.
Correct.
You don't want to own individual stocks because they can do the thing that Tesla did, which is decline a lot. Or I was reading about another one. a store that was very popular with 10 years ago with soccer moms and, you know, parents planning for their kids was Party City. What's Party City doing right now? Bankruptcy.
The party's over.
Their stock went from $6 to like 15 cents a share. Boom. That is.
I can sell you some great Bed Bath and Beyond bonds if you'd like.
That's the thing. This is you own individual stocks. They may do well for a while, but they're not going to tell you before they go south on you. And when they go south, they can take all your money with them. A mutual fund or an ETF cannot do that if it's properly diversified. 855-935-TALK. Charlie, you're next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Charlie.
I heard you talking earlier about ETFs versus mutual funds, and I think it was VTWAX versus VT. And I was wondering if it would be prudent then to take, I have money in VTWAX. Would it be a good idea to sell that and then buy VT? And if so, would that trigger any kind of wash sale rule?
No, because if you sold VTWAX, do you have a loss or do you have a gain?
At this moment, after last year, it might actually be a loss. It's pretty close to break even, I think.
Well, okay, because here's the thing. There's two different ways to look at this. There are two different ways to do it.
Yep.
If you have a loss in VTWAX, and this is in a taxable account, which it must be, or you wouldn't even worry about the wash sale rule, then you would sell it, take the tax loss, and wait 31 days to buy
VT. Even though there are different symbols. It's still a wash sale.
Yeah, because they're substantially identical portfolios.
But you've pointed out another fund he could buy that's an ETF as well that is a globally diversified portfolio, but enough different that you'd be okay. I think it's AVGE.
Yeah, the Avantis total market product would do that.
Because it has a small value tilt.
But if you do not have a loss and you have a gain,
that doesn't matter.
Then you just you have Vanguard move it from the mutual fund to the ETF internally, and then there's no gain for tax purposes.
Gotcha. Okay. You have time for one more quick question?
Of course.
Absolutely.
I was wondering what your feeling is on the online high yield savings accounts that are literally, some of them are up to like 4.1%. And if there's any.
Go get them.
I
love them.
All right.
They're FDIC insured.
Unless you're like the guy who wants to go down to the bank and see his money. I mean, you know, which I never quite understood because it's not your money there. Not kidding. Bricks, there's no reason to be in a bricks and mortar bank. Who goes to a bank, number one? If you've got the insurance, who cares? And you're making like, I can't even run the percentage. Because what's Bank of America still paying? 0.17 or something on their
account?
Oh, pardon me.
0.01.
0.01. I mean,
0.01.
I can't even run the percentage between that and 3%. I'm not smart. I mean, it's substantially more.
Barclays is paying 3.4 on a high-yield savings account. Lending Club is paying 3.6.
You can move the money if you needed to keep it there and move it right into your checking account to pay a bill or something.
Immediately.
Like, quick. Yeah, I don't.
Well, 3
Seriously.
Days.
It's just being more efficient with your money.
As long as you've got the FDIC insurance, because it is possible that some, like Lending Club Bank, you know, it's not exactly a bank that you know, but because they got the FDIC insurance, if they do something stupid, you're not going to lose. Does that help?
Well, thanks very much.
You are quite welcome. Thanks for the call.
And by the way, those rates are thanks to bankrate.com, where you can go look at all the various interest rates at any time.
Yeah, they're down actually a little bit. I think that's a little lower than they were a couple of weeks ago. I mean, they're still low. 3.6. Come on, 3.3, 3.4. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Ouch.
I'm sorry. You know, I was going to check some of the callers that came in from talkingrealmoney.com because I don't open them until it's...
Yeah, because...
What?
Until you have to do them. You don't even touch them.
No, I don't touch them because then I know that they're fresh and I would lose track of them. But then I just opened this one during.
No, please.
No, hold on.
Turn it down. It's loud. Yeah, now you're down. Yeah. And by the way,
I don't know what he was
screaming. We didn't do podcasts over the whole holiday. Well, I got people that wrote me. And yes, now from this point forward, unless Don is ill, we will do. Well, basically, if you sign up for the podcast, you're going to get 5 a week.
Yeah, pretty much. You don't actually have to sign up for them, but you can sign up, by the way.
Yeah, it's easier. That way they come right to your. Yeah.
Yeah, if you go to talkingrealmoney.com, you can sign up for the newsletter, which is where every day I send you a little note. Point. It's not even automated. It's just me doing it. I do it by myself.
And he took a few days off for the holiday, and then he got ill, so he took a few more days off. So give him a break.
And really, people get very upset.
Somebody asked me yesterday, why do you do 5 a week? And I said, I think podcasting is a lot like baseball. Right. I think the reason baseball became so popular is because they play it every day.
Oh, you know,
every
that
day
may
they
be.
Would wake up and look in the paper and see the box score and blah, blah, blah. And yeah. How did Joe DiMaggio
that
do?
May
blah,
actually
blah, blah.
Be regular anyway, stuff. But here's the thing.
People like
here's
that.
Something really interesting. And I don't know. This is a little behind the scenes thing. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I love podcasts. One of my favorite is This American Life by Ira Glass. He does it for national public radio stations, but he turns it into a podcast. And the podcast is marvelous because it's a little bit, they leave some of the things they have to bleep out for NPR in there and stuff like that. I love the podcast, but I wait till the end and I listen for the credits. And I listen for the credits on lots of podcasts. And
you just want to see how many people are making a podcast versus two of us.
I do. I want to see how many people it takes to make a podcast. This American Life, almost every episode, all the producers, the writers, the engineers, it's about 14 to 20 people.
Wow.
To make
what
a
podcast.
What is it
podcast. For Planet Money?
It's
Planet
an hour. Money. About the same.
Yeah, which I love. I love Planet Money.
Right, Planet Money's another good one. Freakonomics Radio, another one. I wait for the end. Mm-hmm. And it's like a dozen people are on staff. Making the podcast.
People,
this doesn't count the
people
behind
the
scenes.
How many people do we have on staff?
How many people do we have on the Talking Real Money production staff?
Yeah.
Well, we have two hosts and one person on the production staff. And that's the same person who's one of the hosts.
I thought we were going to try to bring my dog in or something.
No, that's it.
It's like not one.
That's it.
Yeah.
Every podcast is edited by me in its entirety. And if I mess up, it's all on me. And I messed up on Fridays. I left a cough in that I thought I cut out, and I didn't. And I just now cut it out. During one of our breaks, I cut it out and replaced it. I edit every podcast. I convert it. I do all the production work. I create the artwork. I post it on the internet, on the web. I post it on Talking Real Money. I send out the newsletter. So if for a few days
what? I'm trying to find my violin. Just a minute. I'll be right back.
No. But what the point I'm trying to make is there will have to be times. Just life forces. Tom wouldn't know how to edit a podcast if literally his life depended on it.
No, I could record one, but you wouldn't like it because it would just be me sitting there talking. It'd be like other people we know that just.
But what if you had to edit it or put it up on the web? What would you do if you had to put it up on the web?
I would call somebody I know. They would put it up on the web.
But that's what do you even know what website?
I do know people.
Do you know which website to put it on?
I have no idea.
Exactly. Who hosts our podcast, Tom?
Spotify.
A division of Spotify, but Spotify won't cut it. If you type in Spotify, it won't work.
Okay.
Yeah. So you would be lost. No. So I'm making an excuse.
No, there's no. I am defending you.
I took
no
a holiday.
Yeah, you took a holiday, and then I got
the flu.
Yeah. Right. Okay. It's legit.
And prior to that, I had my neck operated on. I hate 2020.
Prior to that,
let's not even remind me of 2022, shall we?
Unpleasant.
No.
Time.
See,
yeah,
I had blocked it all out of my head. Now it's coming back to me.
Sorry. Okay.
Terrible...
Letting it go.
All right. I'm getting another call. I've got one. I've got one. Okay. I have not vetted this call at all.
Oh gosh.
All right.
Okay.
So wait, I'm gonna open it here so I can see the waveform to see if it's loud enough. Oh good, it's loud enough and it's not too loud, so it won't hurt your ears. Ready?
Hello, Tom and Don. Yep. This is Mary. I've been listening to your podcast for about a year now, and I would like to thank you for everything you do.
You're welcome.
Here's my question. My husband has a 401k from his part-time job. Northern Trust Global Investments is the investment manager. All the mutual fund options are under their management. Could you help us assess if Northern Trust is a good investment management firm? Should we stay away from them? Or are they a good firm overall? He does have a 403b with his full-time job, where Vanguard is the investment manager. He currently has about $220,000 in his 401k from his part-time job, and he has about $35,000 in his full-time job 403b. He's currently not contributing to his part-time 401k and maxing out his full-time 403B. Thank you again for your guidance, and happy holidays.
Thank you very much for the question. So Northern Trust mutual funds, they do have a lot of mutual funds. And interestingly, quite a few of them are indexes. They do offer index products.
Wow.
A lot of them are active. So they're a little bit of everything. And I have never actually looked at their particular fund. So I'm going to look at this one, which is the Northern Stock Index Fund, which is, it's a large cap.
How much?
Stock index.
Yeah, of course it is.
And its expense ratio is quite low. Point. Get this. Ready?
Yeah.
This is going to shock you, actually. It's half that of Vanguard's Admiral Total Market Index.
Really?
Half.
Wow.
The portfolio, though, is 100% U.S. equity. My guess is, I don't know what the index is. Ah, I know what the index is now. What is the index that it follows? S&P 500.
S&P 500 or something?
S&P 500. Okay. So it's an S&P 500 fund. But it's a good. They do have a lot of products. They have, let's see, what do they have in indexes?
Yeah, but we don't know if those are all available to that particular 403B.
No, but they do have a mid. They have an international equity index. So if they have index funds, then I would use them. I would build a globally diversified portfolio if you have the index funds available. Because they do have a small cap index, they have an international equity index, they have global indexes. So, yeah, if you can get into the index funds, they're not going to be bad at all. Thanks for the call, 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hey, Tommy, retirement here again. You know, for the last, 9 years or so, we've been getting together there at that thing called Retire Meet, where people have been meeting me retirement, right?
Yes.
Well, no, 8 years, 8 years, 8 years. So if people want to meet with me again for the ninth year, how do they go about doing that?
Go to retiremeet.com. It's Saturday, the 25th of February, and it's in Bellevue or online. Get early bird tickets right now.
So
love to see you again.
So
you're wearing the same suit from 8 years ago.
Well, you know, I'm retired. So they go to what? Retiremeet.com? That's it?
That's it. Yep.